Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. We'll be focusing on the first half of the verse and the words, "the image of the invisible God." If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, titled, "The Image of the Invisible God." This is part 1 of 2.
Events update. I mentioned up here it's Gay Pride Month. here in Columbus.
Well, it's, I guess it's a National Gay Pride Month. Now, the parade was yesterday, right? What, you didn't go? That's an understatement. Better things to do. Well, I just want to keep everybody in the loop of what is going on. And Target's just one, but, you know, just giving you the information. And I know some of us have gone to Target to get something we couldn't find somewhere else. I'm not condemning y'all, because I'd be a hypocrite. I went to Target one time this year. But let me tell you something. In years past, it would have been at least once a month. And this is why. This is their website. Pride Month is here, and Target has everything you and your family need to celebrate. Like hell. Pride Month is underway, and we're helping families get ready to celebrate the LGBTQ community and take pride with a new exclusive product collection. It includes stuff for children. Come down to the end here in New York. For the second year, our New York volunteers are teaming up with local partners on a Target-sponsored event called Youth Pride. They want your children. And you can add Homo Depot to that. I go to Lowe's. I don't have stock in Lowe's. I go to Lowe's because they don't put millions of dollars into what God calls an abomination. And so that's what you're dealing with. Just a little heads up there. And people will say, well, if you don't shop where they don't support the queer, then you can't shop anywhere. That's a lie. You just admit you don't give a flip if you say that. You can shop places that don't support the queers. And if you find out somebody's supporting abortion, we've talked about that before. That, what was that big thing with a pink, everybody, Komen? Isn't it called Komen? Yeah. And, you know, they were giving money to Planned Parenthood. And I don't know if that ever stopped or not, but for a while there, you know, Christians were pulling out of their charity events and things. That's all you can do. God didn't call on any of us to save the world, but we are supposed to be salt and light. Amen? When you have the opportunity, do what's right. It's not that difficult. You just do what's right. Amen? I mean, that's all there is to it. Christians. I mean, you talk about the world today, but the Christians are it's just amazing. They're cowards. Cowardice, apathy. Some of both. But I'm going to tell you, if you live by the book, you live by the Word of God, you live without worrying about what human beings think of you, then you're going to be a freak. Everybody is going to think you're a nut. They're going to talk about you when you're not around. And you're not going to care. Amen? You don't care. I mean, if you're right with God, you don't care. We're going to be in, I said, Colossians 1:15, and it's kind of fitting that we're dealing with some of the current events to do with Sodomite Appreciation Month in June, because Colossae was in Phrygia and was a neighbor to Laodicea, and that rhymed, and I didn't even do it on purpose, but there was a lot of this stuff going on at the time that Paul wrote this letter. And you may remember that just a few years after he wrote this letter, God destroyed Colossae. Completely wiped out the city. So you're reading a letter written to a bunch of people who we could say are dead men walking. They're either going to get right with God, or they're going to perish and go to hell. And that's really true about all of us. Let me get past this. had up there. In our previous study, we saw that we have redemption through the blood of Jesus. If you didn't see that, you can catch up on all of our studies by going to bbfohio.com. And we have a little playlist there. You can listen on audio or watch on video. And even if you don't have internet at home, you can go to the library, download it. So let's read together verse 15. I want to read verse 14, and then you can join in verse 15. Verse 14 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." And that's the verse, the first part of that verse we're going to focus in on after we open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for all who made it today. We thank you for this time in your word. We pray we'll focus on Jesus. And Lord, that you'll help us all to know Jesus better, to live more dedicated to his cause, and to only care what Jesus thinks of us and not what the rest of the world thinks, because only Jesus matters. And so we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. First part of that verse, 15, who is the image of the invisible God? I think I'd like to make a comment here before we move on. Is it's Father's Day, June 17th, right? 2018. I'm a father and a grandfather. And I appreciate Father's Day. And I think that if the liberals had their way, they'd do away with it, because it means you assume someone's gender. And that's, liberals hate science. You ever notice that? They hate real science. They want to just make crap up. But even among Christians, though, on Father's Day, you'll have every year some fathers only show up 1 week. Maybe they come on Christmas or Easter. But a lot of times fathers only show up on Father's Day because they know they're going to get something. And their family say, "Come on, it's Father's Day. Come on." So they go. Sadly, every year they get a lecture on how to be a good father. And a lot of times they don't even get the gospel. And I just want to remind you that I'm not out to, you know, condemn people for that. And once in a while I might do a father's message on Father's Day. There's nothing sinful about it. But the church, the reason we're here is to teach you the Word of God. And that assumes that you are reading your Bible, that you read your Bible every day. And we have, it's so easy in our day. We have the DVD right up here, free. We have the audio MP3. I look like I need to get another one of those, but you can get them cheap. And you can listen on audio, you can watch it on DVD, the thing turns the page, or you can just get your own Bible, open that thing up, and you can read three chapters in about 15 minutes. So in 15 minutes a day, you can go through the Bible once a year. And if you'll do that, you will enjoy Bible studies like we're having this morning. If you will not do that, you're going to hate coming here. You're just not going to like it. And we've had some, not very often, but we've had a few times where we had some issues with people. You know what the common denominator all those people had? They admitted to me they don't read their Bible. How is that? I think it's kind of like a, what's the old saying, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. See, there's some truisms out there that not necessarily quoting the Bible. They also say idle hands, but I think it's more dangerous when you have an idle mind. So you're not filling your mind with the Word of God. You know what you're filling it with? What did you say, Martha? I thought she said crap. I was going to say, I'm rubbing off. Trash, that's true. Garbage or crap. Manure. Dung. Let's get big, biblical. Dung. And there's something amazing about when you study the Bible and you read it and you really pay attention to what you're reading and you see Jesus. There's something about it. I mean, you see Jesus the way he tells us to see Jesus. It's the words of God telling you that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Amen. And that's one of those things where I'm going to provide you with the thoughts that I have on this, the scriptures God brought to my mind, but you can sit down anytime you want, and that's called meditating. Sit down anytime you want and just start looking through the Bible, all the things we're told about Jesus. And I think it's going to be sad that there's going to be a number of Christians who are going to go to heaven and meet Jesus in person, having not really gotten to know him through the Word before they got there. They got saved. They got their fire insurance. But that's not a relationship. You know, you buy fire insurance off the insurance salesman, but you don't marry him. At least I've never met anyone who married their fire insurance salesman. That may have happened, but I've not met anyone like that. But with God, it's not supposed to be fire insurance. It's supposed to be the beginning of a relationship, a time of growth. We're going to spend our entire study discussing this major important truth, who is the image of the invisible God. Jesus had to be infinite God in order to pay for our sins. Amen. See, all the cults denied that Jesus is God. We have at least one former Mormon here who can tell you the Mormons are a cult and they deny that Jesus is God. We have a couple of people here who had at least been under the influence of Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower. They deny that Jesus is God and actually teaches Michael the Archangel. You have the New Age movement, which encompasses pretty much, I mean, a huge number of people who are, whether they're Hindu, Buddhist, or just into the occult, that's New Age, and they deny that Jesus is God. And they teach that Jesus is just one of the Christs, and that you and I can be Christs, and we can tap into the Christ consciousness and all that. And of course, the atheists and the agnostics and the humanists deny that Jesus is God. The Muslims deny that Jesus is God. They call him Isa, and they say that he didn't actually die on the cross and that he didn't actually rise from the dead. So every time you hear a Muslim or a idiot liberal saying, well, the Muslims, they respect Jesus. No, they don't. They blaspheme. Amen. They deny Jesus. They reject Jesus. They have a fake Jesus. Amen. They go on and on with some of the smaller cults. But the point is that he had to be God. If Jesus were not God, he was just another created being dying. His death couldn't pay for a single sin. You sin, you may do something that hurts me, you may do something that hurts somebody else, but when you sin against God. The penalty is infinite. It cannot be paid by a created being, whether it's an angel like Michael, and he, you know, Michael and Mary, they have to be up there in heaven saying, man, these people are stupid. I mean, all these people saying, I'm Jesus, I'm Michael. And Mary's up there saying, all these Catholics praying to me, Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed be the fruit of the womb, blah, blah, blah. And I never told anybody to pray to me. The Bible never told anybody to pray to me. They'll go anywhere but to the true Jesus who is God. Amen. This is a... I just want to quote something that goes back about 700 years. Because you hear people say, oh, the idea that Jesus is God and that he had to be God to die for our sins, that's a modern invention or is invented in the 18th century and that kind of stuff. This is a book called Theologia Germanica. It was... it's not really known who wrote it, but Martin Luther published this, and so evangelicals in Europe have read this since the mid-16th century. It was translated into English by Susanna Winkworth. This is just showing that 1350, what year is this? It's not that I didn't know. I just want to make sure you did. Go back in time to 1350. And this was what was published among Christians. Quote, "But how shall my fall be amended?" Talking about the sin, fall, sin, sinful nature. "It must be healed as Adam's fall was healed. And on the self same way." By whom? And that's an inference to the second Adam, being Jesus. By whom and on what way was that healing brought to pass? Mark this. Man could not without God, and God should not without man. Therefore, God took human nature, or manhood, upon himself, and was made man, and man was made divine. That's a reference to man being Jesus. Jesus as a man, we now have a divine man. The God-man. But it also means that if you are saved, you, in a sense, become divine. You don't become gods. But as Peter said in 2 Peter 1:4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, amen, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." It's like we've talked about. I mentioned the Mormons. The Mormons teach that if you go through their temple and do their all their rules and everything, you can become a god. You can get your own planet, have a billion celestial wives, and have sex for eternity. And that's heaven. Similar to the Islamic idea of jihad. But they take a truth and they pervert it. Because you're not going to be a god with your own planet and populating it, having sex. But you will be as Jesus. We're told in 1 John 3, we will be as he is. And you won't be, obviously you're not eternal because you have a beginning, and you will never be omniscient. You'll never know as much as God. But you will have his glory. And even right now, when we submit to his spirit in our lives, when we submit to his word in our lives, we are actually partakers of that divine nature. But we constantly muddy the waters by getting in the way. Amen? That's our problem. Me. I'm not your problem. I'm my problem. You're your problem. You want to see your problem? Get out mirrors. Let's all look in the mirror. That's my problem. I need to do that sometime. I'll go somewhere and get a cheap box of mirrors and just hand them out to everybody. Now everybody look. Look at it. Look at it. That's your problem. Now you want me to do it, don't you? I totally had forgotten that I had quoted this. 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." And we talked about it in our previous study. Or actually, we talked about it Wednesday. If you're not like him, if you're not glorified, you can't see him, you die. You basically just go in his presence, in the flesh, ain't happening. You have to be born again. Jesus is the visible image of God the Father. Look over at John 4:24. Let's look at that. John chapter 4. And verse 24. That coffee tastes good. I think I'll have another. Just talk amongst yourselves there. Oh, that's one good reason not to be a Mormon right there, Brother Jason. They can't drink their coffee. John 4:24. First four words is our emphasis, but we're going to read the whole verse. Read it with me. "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So you see, God is a spirit, but in order to die for your sins, he upon himself flesh. Wouldn't that be weird if we look back 2,000 years ago and we're reading the Bible and it talks about this spirit, and the spirit died on the cross, and how does a spirit shed blood? Couldn't happen. That's why he had to become a man. There's so many reasons why God had to become a man. Now you look at the garbage, the trash, the manure. It comes out in the name of God's Word. NIV, ESV, CSB, that's the Christian Standard Bible from the SBC, the Southern Baptist. They all start with three words. What do they delete? The article A. Hold your finger there and go to John 3, or Genesis 3, I'm sorry. Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. I want to show you who is behind these new Bibles. Genesis chapter 3. First words say, now the serpent was more subtle than man, any beast of the field. You know who the serpent is? Who is it? Satan, Lucifer. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You notice how he doesn't even quote that right. God never said, you shall not eat of every tree. He said, you shall not eat of one. See how it's twisted? The words are just twisted up there. And the woman said, verse 2, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Uh-oh. Did God say that? You see, when these new versions add a little here and take a little there, they're not just updating God's word. Eve was not putting out a more accurate translation. And she was not just updating God's word. She was adding to God's word. He never told her not to touch it. Now, would that be wise? Well, yeah. Did God say it? No. That's a problem fundamentalist Christians have to deal with. Amen. Fundamentalist Christians love to tell women they can't wear slacks. You won't find that in the Bible. Amen. But to them it seems reasonable. And so they add it. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall surely die. Oh, wait a minute. What did he say? He added what? One three-letter word, not. And you will go through Satan's comments in the Bible over and over. You can go to Matthew 4. We don't have time to go through all of them. You go to Matthew 4. You will see that he quotes part of a verse out of context, adds a little here, takes a little away, and that's exactly what you have in an NIV, an ESV, or a CSB, or any of the new translations. They remove the letter A and totally change it. God is a spirit. He's not spirit. When you say God is spirit, you are now introducing pantheism. You are now making God spirit. So that's why you hear people constantly say things like, well, you know, they're spiritual. They're real spiritual. So what if it's a devil that they're spiritual about? If they're in the New Age movement, they're talking to devils. How spiritual are they? They're occult spiritual. But when you have this messed up translation, God is spirit.